A little boy saw his father on top of the house repairing the roof. "Dad," he cried, "let me come up." "Come," answered the father, "but look at me and climb." Halfway up, he looked down and became frightened. He couldn't move. "Don't look down," said the father. "Look at me and keep climbing." He did, and he reached the roof safely. We're like that boy. When in difficult situations, we look down at our circumstances and cry instead of looking up at Christ. So over and over in the letters our Lord wrote, we're urged to look up at Christ and keep climbing. Today, we'll study two letters, one to the church at Pergamos and the other to the church at Thyatira. These letters are found in Revelation 2, 12 to 29. Let's consider the first letter to the church at Pergamos. Look at the area. Pergamos was a city of culture and wealth. It boasted of big, beautiful buildings, especially of a library that contained 200,000 hand-copied books. It was second only to the Library of Alexandria, Egypt. The use of skin or parchment was invented by the authors and librarians of Pergamos. Pergamos was the capital of the province of Asia. Here the Concilia was located, which was responsible for the worship of the emperor. Satan's seat was there. The word Pergamos has in it the same root from which we get our English word for bigamy or polygamy. It's the word for marriage. Pergamos signifies a mixed marriage in the worst sense of the word. It's the marriage of the organization of the church with the world. In Pergamos, the church was married to the world. Now, look at the assembly. Pergamos was the capital city of Mysia, a Roman province in Asia Minor. Paul, according to Acts 16:7-8, passed through this province, embarking at the port of Troas on his last voyage to Europe. This city was about 20 miles from the sea. It was a very religious city. It was known chiefly for its religion. It had a famous medical center dedicated to the God of healing. Now, Satan's throne isn't in hell. He's the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air. You'll find these titles in John 12:31, John 14:30, and John 16:11. This religious city was an ideal place for Satan to establish his headquarters. His most effective work is accomplished through religious organizations and religious institutions. While atheism and communism are avowed enemies of Christ and are under his control, Satan operates to his greatest advantage through his demons who pose as ministers of righteousness. You see this in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. But God had his pinch of salt in that place of corruption. Look at the author. Verse 12 says, "He which hath the sharp sword with two edges." What is this sword? His word, the Bible, according to Hebrews 4:12. And Jesus used this to defeat the devil. On being tempted by the devil, the Lord overcame him by saying, "It is written." God's way to overcome Satan and satanic error is by the use of the word of the Lord. Now, look at the approval. It wasn't a lazy church, but a lively church. Our Lord said, I know thy works. He added, I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. The word seat means throne. It's a special throne of authority. The devil must have a base of operations. Satan isn't everywhere as God is everywhere. He's not all-powerful as God is all-powerful. He's a fallen angel, but he has retained his wisdom, his power, his possibility of locomotion and skill, which were his before the fall. He dragged with him an awful host of bright and brilliant followers. With his marvelous wisdom, he marshals them for doing his work. He has a base of operations, a throne. At the time of the writing of the book of Revelation, it was Pergamos at the center of worldly greatness, worldliness, and religion. Our Lord said, I know where thou dwellest. He's saying, you're living where Satan's throne is. It's there you must show that you're a Christian. I've placed you there. No man ever became a Christian by running, or by dreaming, or by drifting, only by decision, determination, and duration. Many times when my father used to beat my mother for being a Christian, when he used to beat her for refusing to join him in his drinking and gambling, friends would say, Julia, leave your husband. No, she'd say, God put me here, and here I'm staying. God knows. God understands. I'm not going to run or give up. I'm going on where God placed me. And God honored her, and he used Mother to win us all to the Lord. Our Lord said, I know thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. His name stands for his nature. Holding fast his name wasn't the same as carrying a card or wearing a medal or a cross. It's holding to the conviction that Christ is Lord. The crux of Roman persecution was in the names of Christ and Caesar. Emperor worshippers said, Caesar is Lord. The Christians refused to say that. They said, Christ is Lord. To say Caesar is Lord was to escape persecution. To say Christ is Lord was to endure persecution and death. To say Caesar is Lord was to deny the faith in Christ. The expression, my faith, means faith in me. There was one who chose to die than to deny faith in Christ. Christ called this one my faithful martyr. The word martyr means a witness. To be a witness then meant to be a martyr. Would you be a witness for Christ if it meant to be a martyr today? Christ called himself the faithful martyr in Revelation 1:5, and he gave that title to this Christian. To suffer for Christ today means to share his glory tomorrow. The crown is always worth the cross. Dare you say, Jesus, I my cross have taken all to leave and follow thee. I'm taking up the cross. Join me, won't you? For the cross bearers on earth are the crown wearers in heaven.